Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Hey, everybody. Scope Summer Movie Slam.
Hey, Shane, how's it going?
Yeah, guys, how you doing? So, Jared, myself, and my beautiful wife, Carrie, are here. We are reviewing...
Oh, that's who that is. Oh.
That's me.
We are reviewing a movie that has already been out for a week, which is very unusual for us. That movie would be World War Z.
World War Z.
Now, this movie, we've been talking about this movie in the Scope universe for... probably a year and a half ever since we found out it was going to be made. Jared, Adam, and myself, we've all read the very popular, at least within certain circles, these genre book, World War Z, written by Max Brooks, who would be Mel Brooks' son.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
He the book World War Z tells the global story of how the Earth was taken over by zombies and eventually fought back.
Yeah, and it's all told through a series of sort of vignettes, I guess.
Yep.
It's actually told after... The book takes place after World War Z is over, and somebody... I don't remember if the person has a name or not, but yep. they're chronicling what happened and sort of traveling around the world getting individual tales of what happened during the war.
Yep. So
and sort of telling the broader story in the process.
Yeah.
The movie does not do that.
The movie takes a completely different narrative, which was... something that I think kept the book from being turned into a movie earlier, which was how do we turn this deep... it's World War Z, in some ways, the book is almost a... It's subtle and it's quiet, but at the same time it has this grand scale. And like you say, there's no main character that's really given any sort of background or personality. It's just a guy doing interviews, essentially. I don't think they ever gave him names. So here we are, we've got this story of the movie version of World War Z, or as I would like to call it, or as Jared called it, rather, the unnamed Brad Pitt zombie film.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't really have much to do with the book.
I mean, the similarities are there's a global zombie outbreak,
yep.
And it pretty much ends there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, may be scenes from... both the book and the movie have an Israel...
sure.
And there's some...
But Planet Earth has an Israel, so the chances, you know, that's plausible that it could exist in two different
places. There's some overlapping story points. But Jared, this is where you step up and shine. You give us the plot of the movie. Who stars in it? It's directed by
Mark Forster.
Mark Forster. I don't know what he's known for, but...
Brad Pitt is our lead character. Yep. He's Jerry Lane. Was it Gerald Lane, I think is his character name?
Jerry.
He's retired or whatever, has taken a break from his really poorly defined UN job.
Yeah. Involved somewhere in wars from time to time.
Yeah, he apparently had gone to various dangerous places around the world and to, I don't know, do research or, you know, investigate things. But he is now no longer doing that. He's staying at home and helping raise his family. He's got a wife who is, I don't know how to pronounce her name, is it Mariel Enos? I don't know. She was from The Killing. And a couple of daughters, and they pick up a foster son along the way. but basically they're in Philadelphia, and they're going someplace... in their vehicle, and suddenly everything...
Shit goes down, all hell
breaks loose. There's explosions, there's people running, and they've got to go into survival mode. And he places a call to his... Or maybe he got a call from, I don't remember, but he's still got a contact at the UN.
What's his name?
I don't know. Terry?
His name is Terry. So we've got Terry and Jerry.
All right, well, good writing. So the UN gets them out eventually, and they're on a ship... out in the Atlantic Ocean, where sort of a command center has been set up, and they're sort of trying to coordinate information from around the globe and try to figure out what's going on.
It's all bad, Jared.
Yep. But it turns out there's not a lot of space on the boat, so in order for his family to stay safely on this boat, Jerry has to get back on the horse and get back in the field and help figure out what has happened. And that is what propels our story into motion. I think they initially go to Korea.
And the idea is they are looking for the origins of this and then how to stop it.
They've got some brash young virologist with them, who needed to take some firearms training courses.
Yeah, which is a big problem for me right there. And then eventually it's a world-hopping adventure with Jerry looking for answers.
Yep. They go from Korea to Israel to Cardiff, and then eventually Nova Scotia.
It's action-packed, Jared.
Yeah.
So here we are. We've seen the movie. We've talked about it, about what the plot is. I suppose it's time to get into what we felt about it. So I'll start with Jared,
mm-hmm.
or I'll call you Jerry, and you can call me Terry.
Okay, Terry. You know what? Overall, I rather like this film. There are some problems with it, but I think, and I don't even think I'm going to couch this in it's a summer movie, so what do you expect? I think overall it does thrills and suspense and action fairly well. Now, are all the scenarios plausible or smartly staged or written? Not necessarily, but from beginning to end, I did find myself enjoying the film quite a bit. Now, I think that the third act sort of has some problems.
Yes.
Which is kind of weird since they brought in pinch hitter Damon Lindelof, as you said earlier, to rewrite it. And it makes me wonder how the original ending, how the original third act was, because...
Because they really hated it.
I'm not sure that the rewritten one is an improvement.
No. It ends up being a Resident Evil type of thing.
Yeah. I think everything from the point where they discover that one of the zombies is on the plane... onward is a bit of a trouble spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Brad Pitt and his new Israeli military friend. I forgot her name, but
we call her Uno because that's how many hands she has.
She got bit and he chopped off her hand earlier in the film. They survive.
A bloodless suffer, by the
way. They're the only survivor. Well, the whole film was practically bloodless, so it's weird. They survive a plane crash as they're heading towards Cardiff in England, or Wales. Sorry, let's be real about it. Cardiff,
I don't even
Wales.
Know what Cardiff is. You're sounding very smart, Jerry.
It's Cardiff. It's where Churchwood is.
Oh, okay.
And Doctor Who... Anyway.
even Carrie's rolling
It's a city in Wales. Yep. There's a World Health Organization research facility there. So they're trying to go there and hopefully try to bring whatever insight they've picked up.
Hello, bird.
Did you know, Jared, that in Wing C of that World Health Organization, they have 60 missing episodes of Doctor Who?
Wow!
That's the part that actually was cut out of the movie.
Oh, that's disappointing. So anyway, and then as you said, it sort of turns into a Resident Evil sort of, you know, they've got to go to a certain point in the facility to grab some pathogens.
There's probably a million different ways they could have attacked that problem, not a million, compared to what they actually did. I'm just going to tell you.
Okay.
But, yeah, so there they go. They're in there. You liked it as an action movie. Let me throw this out to you.
Yes.
Being a guy that's read the book.
Okay.
Is it fair to even compare it to the book? Because, I mean, I'm struggling with that. Because
no.
I like the book so much, and I see little wisps of it in here.
Yeah.
But I think that it goes the other route. I mean, it tries to be a smart action movie, but they're compressing it into 2 hours, or a smart zombie action adventure.
Well, they are compressing it, but they've also left it wide open for more films.
Sure.
So there's the potential for a larger story, and I think they've already talked about a sequel being in the works. But to me, this is another thing called World War Z. It's not really in any way related to it. Now, maybe...
They hint at it at the closing scenes.
I feel like maybe if they do a sequel, that some of the things, because they've teased that humanity started to fight back and figure out some techniques. So,
but if they have camouflage, if they have a way to fight them, I'm trying to think what's the point? Why are we showing that? Because if the zombies aren't killing people because people are hidden because of the cure. What are these battles going to be? It's just going to be humans massacring zombies.
Well, you can't just let them roam free. You've got to clean.
I understand,
them.
But if the zombies aren't attacking and killing people, and they aren't, what's happening?
That's sort of a flaw in the storytelling. If you can somehow, and they didn't really explain this very well. If you could somehow infect people with a terminal disease, but not kill them, which is sort of goes against what a terminal disease is, then they're miraculously camouflaged.
And zombies will more often than not bite them, because they did say it's, you know, they kind of teased that maybe it's not 100%, but
So I guess I'm guessing the operating plan is that you infect a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And you hope that they don't die.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I guess you needed to have something, some way to fight back in this film, but maybe that wasn't the right choice. I don't know. I'm kind of struggling with it because they didn't really write it very well.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, if we take it out of the realm of the World War Z book universe, yeah, and you just sort of put it on its own pedestal, I can't help but consider this to be a companion piece to 28 Days Later. Because okay, that's really how this movie is. It's like telling the bigger story of 28 Days
sure,
Later.
I can see that.
That's how I look at it.
So you get with the fast-running
yeah,
zombies.
Because these,
although they did do, I think it was kind of clever that they introduced the fact that when there isn't something for them to attack around, they go dormant, and then you get the slow shuffling zombies. So they're almost two types of zombies
well,
in one.
But they kind of do that in World War Z, too, or in 28 Days
yeah, I
Later.
Guess so.
I mean, it's, you know... Number one, they don't really make it clear if these people are dead or if they're just infected humans. They sort of call them zombies, but...
Yeah, and they mention undead.
Yeah, but it's not really... It's not a George Romero type of zombie, clearly. So maybe you don't even need to get into that.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, it was interesting how they laid out the pandemic across the world and how you're seeing it take place. And the action scenes were intense and very well done.
Yes.
I just don't know for me if it came together how I would want it to, because to be able to get to point A to point B to point C, you have to have implausible things happen within those sequences to get Jerry to where he needs to be to solve this stuff. I mean, as he's running through Israel, what were the chances that he was going to really make it out there after you seeing what was happening? It seemed like it wasn't going to happen. Philadelphia was another one where...
So you're probably right in that they went too big with the scale and the immensity of the danger for it to be plausible. And they put their lead character in so many of these situations.
He's a superhuman.
It's really... Well, and he's extremely lucky for
yeah,
most, because he isn't... A lot of times he's just running. It's not like he's, like, you know, super strong or a military expert or anything like that.
No.
A lot of times he's just can find the crack in the wall to get through or whatever, you know. Let's talk about Israel for a second here.
Okay. Carrie, do you have anything to add, by the way? You're listening, but not getting into it?
I'm with my cousin. What do you mean? You
lean into this.
Analysis?
Yeah, we're going to start talking about...
Okay,
we're talking
great.
About... We're talking
Mine's
about,
not as complicated as you.
We're talking about Jerry as a lead character.
Yes.
Was he portrayed in a way that seemed realistic to you? Or you just overlooked that because you liked the movie?
Well, you probably overlook it.
Okay.
He's not very realistic.
He's handsome, I'll tell you that. His hair always looks good, Jared.
He does look good.
Pulled back or
but seriously,
tussled?
Seriously, none of those doctors could have figured that out, but he can.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Well, but to be fair, he's the one who has been running around
sure,
and
yeah,
seeing various examples that sort of lead him down
to kind of have this theory.
What I feel confident in general is that if there ever is some sort of zombie outbreak,
yeah,
that there's been enough movies with enough plots that we've got to have some solution to the problem.
Yeah.
Carrie, she's ditching. Right, she's getting out of the car.
So anyway, my quick comment on Israel is
yeah,
I thought it was neat that they were ahead of the game. They had
yeah,
their city walled up. And prepared. Their flaw is that they didn't bother to put guards on the
yeah,
walls. They probably should
yeah,
have put some parapets or something up there because
if they had helicopters flying around there, Jared, they
yeah,
could probably have seen it. That was a huge plot point. So Israel's walled off. They're ahead of the curve. They still don't really address how they got these giant walls built so quickly. They didn't know that far ahead of time. I mean, so and I know they said, well, Israel's been building walls for years, so
yeah,
we get it, but what are the odds that Jerry lands in, he's just in Israel, and all of a sudden he's watching all the people that are not infected pour in, and they have some sort of weird musical chant where they have a microphone.
Yeah.
The zombies hear them, and then all of a sudden they're attacking the walls. I mean, you know, that...
It seems like a scenario that would have happened...
Yeah.
Or
they wouldn't have let him do it because they might know that the noise actually attracts them.
Right.
It seems silly to me.
It does seem a little strange that Jerry's the only one who seems to have figured out sort of the things that trigger the zombies.
Yes.
I don't know.
And then it sort of segues into the airplane.
Yes.
Which is where Jared says it sort of... The movie sort of starts falling apart a little bit. Great sequence again. So Jerry
yeah,
is with the one arm with Uno, Uno the Israeli soldier, and they're on, they pretty much hijack a plane, or they get on a plane as they're running from the falling walls of Israel.
Yep.
And he does a little bit of severed hand doctoring.
It's
impressive.
Field medic.
Medic. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're on the plane for a set number of time, and eventually there is a infected on the plane who pretty much infects the back half of the plane and the front half, and Jerry pulls a grenade pin, sucks them all out, plane crashes. Who live? Jerry and the one-armed soldier.
I don't necessarily disagree with his tactics on the plane. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, you're...
I mean, you either just give up or you do something drastic.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But yeah, it is a little weird that they're the only two survivors.
And Jerry has pretty much got a shard of metal all the way through his body, which it's got to hit something that's important down there.
Okay, there was one infected survivor of the plane crash, too. Let's be completely fair.
And as Jared and Carrie and I were talking on the way to the car, the fact of the matter is they were on the plane for a long time. I cannot believe that there was an infected hidden for that long before they, whatever. And Jared said, well, maybe he was trapped in a different part of the plane and he made his way up. That's possible, but I don't buy it. I don't think they play by their rules.
I don't have a problem with it because it was... There's like a dumbwaiter that runs from the lower level upwards, and we clearly saw the flight attendant push the button to raise it up, and that's where the guy was hidden. So I'm not bothered by that.
I'm bothered by it. Carrie, you're not bothered by it.
What?
You're not bothered by it. No. She's not paying attention. She's not bothered by us, Jerry.
Okay.
It's long, and I was texting.
So let's talk a little bit about the rules that were set up for the zombies, and if they played by those rules, because that's... something we talk about a lot in the Walking Dead TV show.
Yeah.
Zombies have the spook ability. You know, they're only there when they need to be there to chew on somebody. You know, most of the time you can see them rambling up, but boom, when you need an important thing to happen in the plot, mm-hmm. there they are when you need them. Do you think that this movie does right by the rules that they've set up, or do you think that they break them? Overall.
I think about this.
Because I think overall they're all right.
Yeah.
I just think that... I think that maybe the writing does a little more disservice. But I think that they, for the most part, act how they should. There's not a lot of unrealistic jump scares, you know, which is like, ooh, there's a zombie hiding around the corner. I think that they're, you know, you sort of know what you're getting into.
Well, they don't do a lot of things where like, okay, we looked at this spot, there's nothing there. Okay, we looked away, and now we look back, and oh, there's something there. Yeah. They didn't really do that.
No.
It was always... You know, in the moment of searching, they did find things that would pop out of the darkness.
Yeah, they're always
sort of... Which made sense.
Yeah, the one thing about this movie is momentum. That would be the word that I would use. Everything's pushing forward.
Yeah.
Whether it be the zombies, whether it be the story, whether it be the characters that are
The first half is pretty relentless.
Yes.
Which is, I think, is the right thing to do because that's sort of... You need to be in that mindset with these characters because it is this world that your world is just crashing down around you and it's just a constant rush to survive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I compare it more so to 28 Days Later in that run for life
mm-hmm.
than I would for any standard zombie movie. You know what? As long as they stay within those rules, that's fine. I mean, you just sort of have to accept that this is the playground that you're in. And if you don't like the merry-go-round, leave the playground and go find a slide somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
But I still would. I still have to say that I think a real World War Z book-based movie could be done very, very well.
I think it'd be better as an anthology TV show.
Or TV show. I just think that it could be done.
Oh, sure.
And to say that, you know, oh, that's been done before, because I think that was one of the reasons why they didn't do it that way. The producers and Brad Pitt was we want to show something different rather than go through the slow rambling zombies because it's been done in Walking Dead. I think that's kind of what they said.
Okay.
That's fine, but then you need to do something that's even completely different than what has been done before because this has been done before in, not in the scale, but in the style. You've seen the fast zombies.
Yeah.
So it's not completely unique and you can talk about how they mass like insects and, you know, they build on each other. That's not a huge part of the story. I mean, you see it, but for the most part, it's just a lot of people running fast.
Well, there's. I mean, you see some digital counters early in the film, and there's just counting off, I'm guessing, how many people are infected, and it's in the billions range. So
it's a lot.
You're going to see swarms of these creatures doing their little bite thing. Oh, it was creepy.
It's weird.
creepy.
So, like I said, I come from two minds on this. It's, you know, I really liked aspects of it. I think the scenes were intense, but I still think the plot and the writing sort of let them down trying to get a certain kind of movie. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I still think it's probably higher up there in the level of summer movie that we've seen so far. It's smarter overall. It's acted well.
Yeah, I can't fault the acting at all. I think everyone gave great performances. Not always given the best material, but... This is kind of a theme that comes up over and over and over again. I see it more now because we've seen so many films in the last couple months. Is that you just... There's no substitute for good writing. There's no substitute for plotting things out in a plausible, logical way that you can actually... except as something that would really, really happen. So many times we get scenes where something super convenient happens to push things forward, or something, a character does something that you never would have expected them to do based on your previous experience with them. And
it happens in this movie.
And
you know?
maybe that's just the way that screenwriting is. But I feel like the more I consume, you know, mass market films like this, the more I want them to just really, really write better.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Maybe just
make things a little bit more... Maybe it doesn't have to be the most fantastic scene ever if you can do it in a more realistic and believable scenario. I just...
Maybe that's why... I mean, my favorite movie of the year of the summer so far has been The Way, Way Back.
Sure.
And the reason I like it is that it's written well. And it's a smaller story, so people can... You know, within the 2 months that the story takes place... They can do things that are believable to their characters overall. And not everything's believable in that movie. I don't like to draw those type of comparisons. But when you limit yourself sometimes for the scope of the story, you can better create something that feels real. And maybe that's one of the reasons why World War Z... I mean, World War Z, the book, obviously you can do 10,000 pages.
And every story that gets told is a different character. It's not... You don't have one superhuman UN character...
Jumping through every single story.
Who's in every single scene and has to somehow miraculously survive injecting himself with a live pathogen.
Yeah, that's why I think about this movie, if it could have been done where it's just showing Brad Pitt going around and doing interviews. Imagine, or, you know, and maybe occasionally be in a situation where the zombie action isn't completely dead. You know, where he could tell the story, and maybe be a part of it in tangentially? Is that the word from...
Tangentially.
Tangentially.
It's a mouthful.
You know, rather than being the guy that, you know, is this close to getting killed, but never getting the bite.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
And got in his mouth once.
It did. It got in his mouth. I think that's how you end it. So, Carrie, anything else to add? Or are you... No. For those of you that are watching at home, she just shook her head. So, let's give this thing a Scope Summer Movie Slam score, Jerry.
Okay, Terry.
The Scope score is... 2.5 stars.
I was at about 3 when I walked out, but... The more I think about it, it's like, I can't excuse some of these flaws. I really can't. For as much as I enjoyed the movie, some of the things you just can't overlook, and you gotta knock it down.
Yeah.
It's like we're judging gymnastics. Sometimes, you start with a perfect score, and you start taking deductions.
Sometimes a movie can be so good in other areas that you can overlook the issues. Yeah. And we've done that. I think we've done it with some of the Marvel movies before. But...
We'll just assume that the score has been given.
At this point. If you look closely, especially with a movie that I think that we all had really high expectations for, I mean, you got to judge it for what it is. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's a 2.5.
So I think it's probably better than what we thought. At least it was better than what I thought it was going to be.
I was skeptical it was going to be any good until some of the early reviews started coming out, and I'm like, maybe this might not be so bad.
For a sequel, what I think they need to do. Is they need to show that the camouflaging doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
And then you have all-out balls-to-the-wall humans fighting back. Or, you know, something like that where it's not necessarily just people being chased, but people fighting back. And
maybe work some of the actual book elements into it. Or not. I don't know. I guess I'm okay with it being just a completely separate thing. And I might feel more upset with it if they did bother to throw actual book scenes and elements into it. So maybe it just needs to exist by itself.
Yeah, that might be it. So let's wrap this epic up. Scope Movie Slam over for this session. I'm sure we've got many more movies to come.
Well, it's going to be. We've got a lot of content coming out this coming week here.
I know. Stay tuned for maybe a review of Despicable Me 2. We've got The Wolverine coming. We've got Pacific Rim. So it's not over yet, Scope fans.
No.
So for Carrie, Jerry, and Terry, this is Shane saying arrivederci.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.